السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. We started by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has given us this deen of Islam and who has completed this deen to perfection for us, where it covers every aspect of our life, not just how to worship, not just how to be a good Muslim, but also be a good human being, a good member of society. And we also send peace and blessing upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who then took those teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and brought it into practice, giving us an example of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to conduct ourselves. We send peace and blessing upon the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who helped him and aided him. Amma ba'd, thereafter. Usually, people have a false sense of pride over things that are artificial, that are not actually substantial. A person will have pride over their career, not knowing what can happen in their career tomorrow. Today, alhamdulillah, they make really good money. They are, have a prestigious position within their work field, and also that translates within their society. And they might have pride over that or be proud about it. There's a difference between pride and proud. They might feel proud about it. Whereas what will happen with that, they have no idea. Similarly with our children, similarly with our background, a person might be proud that I come from so-and-so country or I speak so-and-so language. But when it comes to actually being proud about something, a lot of times we fail to be proud about the roots of our religion and how firmly our religion is. And I'm not just talking about, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you a Muslim, but when it comes to Islam, how deeply rooted Islam is. It's not something that somebody just popped up and slapped down on the ground and we follow it. But for each hadith that gets mentioned, there is a chain of narration that goes all the way to the Prophet ﷺ, covering decades and centuries of narrators that mention this hadith and who mention this hadith, all the way down to ourselves. A couple weeks back, we had a graduation here in Dallas of a group of students who now became scholars, and as they graduated, their teachers read out the full chain of narrations that I have taught you hadith and I have learned from my teacher who learned from his teacher and read through all the names until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in my opinion, if there's something that we should feel proud about, is how solid our roots of our religion are. And because of this, In Islam, we have categorized the most authentic book to, of course, be the Quran. But after the Quran, when the next sets of books are categorized, and they're called Sahih Sitta, the six most authentic books when it comes to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these six books, of course, are the compilation of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi, Abu Dawood, Nasai, Ibn Majah, and Muwatta Imam Malik or Muwatta Imam Muhammad. These are the most authentic books when it comes to hadith. And each of the hadith that are put into these books were not just eeny, meeny, miny, mo, this is the hadith I want to pick. But they were put through many filters, and then this hadith gets chosen to be placed in the book of these six compilers. And a lot of times people without knowledge will say, oh, it's only in Bukhari, or it's only in Muslim, it's only in Ibn Majah, it's only in Abu Dawood. And if it's, you know, not Muslim in Bukhari, they drop it down as if the hadith is not something that's actually true. Whereas if you look at each of these six scholars of hadith, in their books they will have thousands, but their compilation of actual their hadith are 500,000, 750,000, and sometimes even over 1,000,000 hadiths that come from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just found on Google or not just on sunnah.com, but actually they traveled and they learned these hadiths from different teachers. And then with this large pool of hadiths, they then put it through filters and select a few thousand hadiths and bring them in their compilation. For example, Sulaiman bin Ash'as, who we know as Abu Dawood, in his compilation of Abu Dawood, he has 4,800 hadiths in that compilation. But he himself knew 500,000 hadiths. Again, I'm not just pulling these numbers out of my pocket, but through the chain of narration that we have. Imam Abu Dawood knew 500,000 hadiths, and from there he selects 4,800 hadiths to put into his compilation of Abu Dawood, Sunan Abu Dawood. And it's a whole different discussion that if I were to ask myself first, that if Mubin were to write a compilation of hadith, 4,800 is a, forget about that. If I reach 48, that would be a huge mountain. But Imam Abu Dawud, rahmatullah alayhi, he then says, from these 4,800 hadiths, he says, the foundation of our deen, the roots of our deen, lie amongst four hadiths. So now you have 500,000 hadiths put into a filter of 4,800 hadiths, and then he filters that even more, making it extremely simple for you and I that look, if you want to understand the foundation of your religion, if you can only act upon just four hadiths, then these are the four hadiths. Why? Because acting upon all 500,000 is be too much, and acting upon 4,800 will be too much. He then makes it very simple and says, the foundation of our religion is in this, these simple four hadiths. And he starts off with a very famous hadith that many compilers of hadith bring as the first, of which is narrated by Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat, the actions are based upon intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مَا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَ هِجَّةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجَّةُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَ هِجَّةُ لِلدُّنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَاتٍ يَنْكِيُهَا فَهِجَّةُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. That Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn Khattab says that actions are based upon intentions. And if a person's actions are for Allah and His Messenger, then that's the reward that he will get. But if their actions are for this dunya, that he earns his dunya, or for a lady who that he wants to marry, فَهِجَّةُ إِلَىٰ مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ, then his migration, his action, is towards that. That's all he gets. And this is the first hadith Imam Abu Dawud says, the foundation of your religion is check your action, check your intentions. Because you can have a good deed with a faulty intention, and that will be corrupted. If you're doing something good, for example, in this example, this person is migrating, leaving everything behind and migrating, going to another city, but the intention is corrupted, the whole action is corrupted. On the other hand, sometimes, and this isn't to open the floodgates, but a person's action might be questionable, but as long as their intention is correct, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put some level of khair and barakah in the action. For example, if a person doesn't know how to pray properly, but their intentions are there, then it is likely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put some sort of khair and barakah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it to a certain degree. And this is what Imam Abu Dawud starts off with. Number one, check your action, check your intentions. And this goes with anything that we do, of course, not just in our ibadat, but also in our ma'amlat as well. Also in our day-to-day dealings with one another, in our going to work or going to school, check your intentions. Right now, you're applying for so-and-so college, check your intentions, why you want to go to that college. You may even be coming to the masjid, check your intention, why are you coming to your masjid? Every action of yours, you spend time with your children, check your intention, what is your intention? And with the correct intention, any action can become a worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as the most mundane acts of going to sleep, the most mundane acts of eating, the most mundane acts of, you know, taking care of your spouse or your children, that becomes an act of worship when the person's intention is correct. And this is why this is the first hadith when it comes to the foundation of our religion. Then Imam Abu Dawud said the second hadith. He says that min husn al-Islam, from the beauty of a person's religion, tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. Min husn al-Islam al-mar'u tarku ma la ya'ni, from the beauty of a person's religion, is that a person leaves that which doesn't concern him. They don't go and put their nose in other people's business. The person understands this is the path that I need to walk. There are certain matters that do not concern me. When I dive into those matters, sometimes it's me that becomes a means of corruption. And a lot of time, my diving into this matter actually corrupts me. So many times you get people that they look into the hot topic of the month. Why? Because people are talking about it. Min husn Islam, al-maru taraku ma la ya'ni. From the beauty of Islam, look, it doesn't concern you. Just leave it. Let people talk. And what ends up happening is they're diving into this topic actually has a negative effect on them. And that usually happens when a person doesn't fully understand the subject matter and the Islamic perspective and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind certain rulings. So Imam Abu Dawud says that from the foundation of our religion is that you keep yourself to what concerns you. What concerns you is your family. What concerns you is your deen. What concerns you is your spirituality, your connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your commitment to the society that you live in, your commitment to the masjid, your commitment to the people that are around you. This is what concerns you, and that's what you should stick to. Then Imam Abu Dawud says, the third hadith, and this is a lengthier hadith, Al-halalu bayyin wal-haramu bayyin wa baynahuma mushtabihat. Halal is clear and haram is clear. But in between there are those matters that are doubtful that you don't know the full meaning to. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reveal it onto us as a mercy so that matters don't become hard. Wa baynahuma mushtabihat. And then the hadith carries on that whoever falls into the mushtabihat, the doubtful matters, they will slowly pass it and go into haram. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives an analogy like a shepherd who grazes his sheep all the way on the boundary, and sometimes without his knowledge, the sheep cross over into the other person's property, into haram. Or they get so used to living life on the boundary of sticking to the doubtful matters that now haram becomes easy upon them and sometimes they dive into haram. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every king has a restricted area, and the restricted area of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those matters that he has prohibited. And then finally Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he talks about halal and haram, but the last part of the hadith is the main part. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ala, beware. Inna fil jasadi muzgha. In your body there is a piece of meat. إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَتْ جَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَصَدَتْ فَصَدَتْ جَسَدُ كُلُّ. When that piece of meat is good, then the whole body will be good. When that piece of meat is nourished by halal, is nourished, again, we're not just talking about, you know, zabiha, non-zabiha, we're not just talking about pork and non-pork or alcohol, we're just talking about nourishing yourself with the action that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible, instead of nourishing your body with things that are doubtful or haram. And when that piece of meat is flawed, when that piece of meat is corrupt, فَسَدَتْ جَسَدُ كُلُّ, the whole body will be corrupt. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finishes off by saying, أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبِ, verily that is your heart. You have to maintain your heart. You have to work on your heart. You have to understand that this has a huge impact on the foundation of my deen, in my practicing my deen, in me accepting that which is halal. And it comes with a very famous hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person commits a sin, a black dot is put upon their heart. And then a second sin, a second black dot, until this becomes a cluster of black dots. And this cluster of black dots then becomes a cancer. And this cancer overcomes a person's heart. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he says that their eyes do not become blind, but it's their hearts that become blind. In another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ, that there is a seal on their hearts. And this seal is from the effects of our sins, and it is our job to إِذَا صَلَحَتْ, to bring it back to life and fix our hearts so that our whole body can fall suit. And the final of these four hadiths, so if you look at these hadiths, the first one talks about check your intentions. The second one talks about mind your own business. The third one talks about stick to halal, stay away from haram, and work on your heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran tells us, on that day, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَوْ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day, your wealth and your children will not help you. What you chase after in the dunya will be of no benefit, إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهِ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, except for that person who comes with a sound heart. And with this heart, he has nourished his children. With this heart, he has earned halal rizq. In the final hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ. Or another narration of this hadith is that a person's iman is not complete, they're not a believer. حَتَّى يُحِبُّ لِأَخِي مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِي. Until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. And this now rounds off a complete foundation of Islam, where you've checked your intentions, you stuck to that which is halal, you mind your business, and you love for others what you love for yourself, you have the good akhlaq as well. And with these four ingredients, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayhi is telling us, now your deen is complete. If you can't act upon all the hadiths, hold on to these four. And I look at this narration of Imam Abu Dawud as a cheat code, because that's the world that we live in. How do I make this task easier? If there is a YouTube video of how to be a good Muslim, this would be the YouTube video Imam Dawud saying that, you know, just stick to these four hadiths and that's all you need to do. If there is a tutorial of how a Muslim should be, Abu Dawud is saying that this is your tutorial. To hold on to these four hadiths and your foundation of Islam, the main part of your religion, will be solid, and then after that, slowly a person can build on. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المسلمين في كل مكان O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for infinite mercy. Ya ilaha al-alameen, we ask you have mercy upon us. You have mercy upon our children. You have mercy upon our friends. You have mercy upon our parents. You have mercy upon our spouses. You have mercy upon our community. O Allah, we ask that you bring our community together as one. We ask that you give unity and love and muhabba within our community. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us a community that includes everybody, all the different niches and all the different types of people within our community. O Allah, protect us from being a community who excludes people and makes people feel alone. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help us complete our iman and help us complete our religion. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the ability to build a strong foundation of our religion. O Allah, give us the ability to be proud about our religion. O Allah, give us the ability to act upon as many hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, make us people who hold on to the Quran. Make us people who hold on to the hadiths. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you forgive our shortcomings. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you overlook our mistakes. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask that you pardon our sins. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for the highest place in Jannah. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask for your pleasure. O Allah, be pleased with us. O Allah, be pleased with us. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is there anybody that is sick? O Allah, we ask that you give them shifa that is complete, that is quick, that has khair and barakah. O Allah, if there are any of our family members that have passed away, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we ask you make the grave from the garden of the paradise. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa aqim as-salah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Hayya lis-salah, hayya lis-salah, hayya lil-falah, hayya lil-falah. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والتين والزيتون وطول سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just a few announcements. Sister Fatima Farooq, her uncle Fayaz has passed away. Also, dua maghfirah for Brother Abdurrahim, who has passed away in California. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes their grave from the Garden of Paradise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives their sins, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives strength and sabr to the family members. Brother Iqbal Vora, his father Ramiz Vora, is a lung cancer patient. May dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him a quick shifa. Those of you that have fulfilled your pledges that were given during the month of Ramadan in our fundraiser, we would like to thank you. For those of you that haven't, please do go to the office and take care of those pledges. Inshallah, tonight at 5:30, we have a kids program with Sister Kazima Wajahat. Again, there'll be a story time at 5:30 today. There are many opportunities to volunteer here at the masjid. For example, summer, Sunday school, Safwa, our tech team, our media team. If you'd like to do so, please go to our website and inshallah sign up. One last announcement, the masjid depends on your donations. On the way out, please do donate to the masjid. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.